Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Well, hello. Welcome to the second edition of our daily Uncensored Podcast, or we're calling it the Quarancast. That's what Holly came up with. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
And we are the morning show from Hot 101.5. And we got a special guest this morning that's popping in to say hi, Miss Danielle.
Hi, how
from promotions. Get up in that microphone, girl. So what people don't realize is that there is a large staff behind everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And I remember when my boyfriend, Abe, and his family came down here from Buffalo for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, and I took them on a tour of the station. And I remember his dad, when we were leaving, he was like, wow, I didn't realize there was so much here.
Yeah, it's a little crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, because I think people think it's just us on the air and that there's like the promotions kids that they see on the streets and like that's it.
Yeah, or maybe like a salesperson.
Right, that's it. But it's like, no, there is a huge, large staff. So, Danielle, what do you do here at the radio station?
I am the manager of promotions and marketing for HOT, mm-hmm. and then along with 102.5 The Bone as well.
Which one is your favorite? Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to do that?
Because.
It's like picking your favorite kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they both have great aspects. They do. Like, I started out with HOT on the street team. And mm-hmm. so, like, that's, like, always going to be, like, my first love is that, like, you know, I started with HOT. And mm-hmm. then I started doing more work with Bone. And then the opportunity came back to start working with HOT again, too. Mm-hmm. So I love both for each different reasons.
Now, when you interact with sort of the Bone fam and the HOT fam, the Miguel and Holly fam, what are some of the differences that you see in the listeners or the fam that you meet?
Wow. with HOT, it's definitely more families. More families, more younger people. So it's a little bit easier to relate to them, to talk to them.
Right.
With Bone, it's a lot of older people.
Right.
But I can still get along with them, too. Like, no issues there. Some guys can be a little bit creepy. Mm. It just be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just been kind of like one of the things that I'm used to. It's like, all right, I don't really take any of that too seriously. I just kind of let it roll off my shoulders. And I'm just like, all right, well, we're just going to move on. We're not going to dwell on that. But honestly, these two stations have some of the most dedicated and sweet listeners in the Tampa Bay area. And I'm so grateful to work for a company that like so many people support and continuously like come out to events and call in and play the games and like, you know, tweet and interact on social media. It's really a great feeling.
Now, how are you doing with coronavirus? Because, you know, right now in our building, there's, I think, like maybe 200 people or 100 people? How many people work in our building on a daily basis? Like, do you know Holly at all? Like, actually, Holly, no, you don't know.
Let's count really quick.
You should see Holly's face right now.
No, of all people to ask, like, Holly's like, I don't know anybody over there.
I know. I am over there out of all of us the least.
Right.
I don't have any idea. If I had to make a guess, I would put it at maybe between 130 and 150.
Okay.
Does that
sound
about right?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think I've heard our big boss, Keith, one time mention how many people worked here. And it was somewhere up in that realm.
It's not 200, but it's more than 100.
Yeah.
So let's go with that.
Well, I just walked around the building and so there's like where our studios are is on one side. In the middle, just like
it's a common
very
area.
Basic, like, you know, sort of layout of the building. All of our studios are on one side, and then sort of like where our office is over where Danielle Promotions Marketing is. Then there's digital, and then there's like the big sales floor, all the salespeople. And I walked over there, and there was like nobody there except for one person.
Oh.
I mean, it is empty. Everybody's working from home.
Well, that was the directive. Our company was pretty on point with jumping on board the self-quarantining.
Absolutely.
I mean, even last week, Thursday, Friday, they said, if you can work from home, you should.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I will give our company a big round of applause for that because I'm seeing a lot on social media people whose companies don't know what to do.
Right.
And like some people are like, I don't really want to go in and I can do my job from home, but they're frowning upon that and there's been no communication and we don't know what's going on. I think a lot of companies are scrambling.
Oh, absolutely. One of my friends, I said this on the air earlier today, that he is a regional manager for a retail store. I think he has another position. He'll probably kill me if he hears this. But he was like, literally, we are rewriting policy daily because you have hurricane or if you have stores on the West Coast, earthquakes or tornadoes or floods. Here are the steps that we go through to keep our stores operational or to help our sales associates. He's like, this is so new that, like, we don't know what we're doing. And we're just trying to, like, be as empathetic as possible and make sure that our people are safe and that they're still paid, but then keep the business going.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been interesting for everybody. So, Danielle, as the person who's on the marketing and promotion side, how has it affected your life?
It's been stressful.
Yeah.
So a bunch of events have gotten canceled, obviously, because there's not supposed to be, like, gatherings of at this point now, it's 10 or more people.
Right.
I mean, so, and all of our events normally have 10 or more people. So,
yeah, hopefully so.
All of those are just scraps. So, I think, like, pretty much, like, through the end of March, I have nothing. I have some stuff in April, but those are just kind of on hold and on standby. And then we suspended in-house prize pickup, so now we have to find out how to get all the winners their prizes that they were going to come pick up. And so I have to call everybody and be like, hey, so we can mail you your tickets, and people are very excited about that because people ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
When they win prizes, they're like, can you mail them to me? And, like, normally it's against company policy because it's just a liability. And then, like, in order for them to do it, they have to, like, mail a self-addressed envelope with a stamp. And it's, like, a whole process. And so it's just easier for them to come in. And then also, like, we have to, like, you know, have them come in and sign something and, like, you know, give their social security number and stuff like that. And so I'm having to call these people. And so in order for me to, like, release the tickets, I have to get, like, their social over the phone, which is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, I have to, like, you know, be, like, very personal with them and real with them, like, how you guys are with your audience. I'm just like, yo, like, I have no access to this. I'm entering it into a database, and I'm hitting save. And once I hit save, I can only see the last four numbers. Like, I'm not trying to steal your identity. I promise you.
But I do want to know, what is your mother's maiden name? And what was the name of your first pet?
And the street you grew up on.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have to ask for a picture of their driver's license, too.
Oh, gosh.
So they're like, this. I talked to this one older woman yesterday, and she, like, really thought I was a scammer. And I was I was like, ma'am, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm just trying to do my job.
Yeah.
And so, but luckily everybody has been really understanding. And I mean, to be honest, like when I'm calling people and telling them, they're not even really that mad about it. They're like, you know, like, we totally understand. And then especially with all this stuff, we weren't really planning on coming in there to pick it up anyways.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's really making it convenient. And then, like, a lot of the prizes too, like, we don't know if the shows have been canceled or postponed yet.
Ugh.
Or
I was going to say, what tickets are they getting? Like, tickets to Busch Gardens? Because that's closed right now.
Yeah.
Tickets
right.
to so anything. It's sort of on hold.
Yeah, we gave out, like, a bunch of, like, Universal and Adventure Island tickets a few weeks back.
Ooh, yeah.
And so, but they're closed for, like, the foreseeable future.
Wow.
So I had one person ask me, they're like, well, what happens if the tickets expire while they're still closed? And I'm
sorry.
I don't know. The good thing is that Universal, the tickets don't expire for, like, another month. So hopefully, hopefully.
And hopefully they'll honor them.
They would, because, I mean, it's out of their control. They're supposed to be operating 366 this year, days a year,
right.
You know, that there's never a time that the theme parks have closed. I think I've only really heard about it, like, maybe during a hurricane.
I think that's it. And maybe 9/11, possibly. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But even for the hurricane, they were maybe closed maybe one or two days.
It was a day, like, a day and a half.
And the resorts were still open.
Right.
Right. Now, here's what I'm curious about, because Danielle, how old are you?
22.
And you were telling me the other day that you have a friend coming into town to celebrate their 21st.
Oh.
Well, it's their 22nd.
22nd.
But I'm a bad friend, and I was supposed to take her out for her 21st, and I had all these plans, like, set, or, like, we talked about it. And then my grandma decided to come down and visit me at that same time.
And you can't really celebrate someone's 21st and have grandma in town.
Exactly. And she was going to spend like 4 days and she had all of these activities planned. And I told my friend, I'm like, I am so sorry. And she was so mad at me. But like, we've been friends since like we were like 16, and like she's like my one friend from high school that like I've really stayed in touch with.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
like she's like my like ride or die, like I love her. And so this time was like my makeup prize. I was like, all right, so instead of taking you out for your 21st, which we didn't get to do, and I have taken her out. I took her out to First Friday in June. She had a great time.
Right.
We saw a street fight. We saw a police horse on the sidewalk chasing down a brawl. We saw a car accident. Like, she saw everything, okay?
That's how it should be to celebrate your 21st.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think she did get a good experience from that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really looking. She never gets to go out. She works 2 jobs. She still lives at home. And in Orlando, there's not really like a nightlife or anything. Or if you want to be part of it, it's kind of far away. Or it's not the greatest like it is in St. Pete and then even like in Soho or Ybor. Right. And so she was going to come down and I was going to take her out to St. Pete one night, Ybor the other night. I was going to get her the full experience, make her like so hungover to go home. Because when people tell me that they want me to take them out for their birthday, I take it very seriously. Like, it is not a victory until someone throws up.
Oh.
I feel like, Holly, you and Danielle need a night out once things open up.
We need
to see how that would go.
You know what? I'm so scared of hangovers now that I really just...
No, you wouldn't?
I don't think I could do it.
I
can only do it if I accidentally do it. If I can no longer say... I'm going out to get wasted.
Right.
I just can't because the grown-up part of me, which has now overtaken most, is like, girl, what are you going to do the next day? Because you're going to have Maya.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be adulting, doing things. Even if you just have to be awake and aware, it's too much.
Mm.
I can't do that anymore unless it's accidental, in which case the next day I'm always like, what the hell is wrong with me? So it's just difficult.
So everything's closed.
Yeah. So
what's going to happen?
So I called her or I texted her on Sunday and I was like, hey, look, like.
There's a virus.
Or maybe it was Monday. I texted her Monday and I said, hey, look, like, I don't think that this is a good idea for us to be going out. And she was like kind of upset because she doesn't get that opportunity to go out like I do. So she's kind of like really bummed about it. And she was like, oh, this sucks. And I'm like, don't worry. Like, we're going to get like a bunch of alcohol at the house and like we're going to party at the house. It's fine. And she's like, well, I still want to go out. And then that night was when Rick Kreisman was like, all right, last call's now at 9. And so I messaged her and I'm like, okay, now we like really can't go out. And she goes, oh, okay. And then yesterday, like they closed all the bars. And I'm like, now we really, really can't go out.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And so she's still going to come down. We're probably just going to hang at my house. And like, honestly, like this past weekend, I mainly just hung out at my house and I had another friend come down and visit me because it was her spring break and she'd already made the plans to come down from Tallahassee. So she spent the weekend at my house and like we didn't really leave the house.
Now, I'm curious. So you said you're how old, Danielle?
22.
Scott, you're 23.
Yeah.
And I feel like what I've been seeing a lot in the media and on social media are the spring breakers that are here and on the beaches. And you see the national news agencies or like BuzzFeed pick up and they're like, of course, Florida would have young people on the beaches being like, well, I'm young and I only live once. And so, I mean, we'll just see what happens. I'm already here. Mm. And the rest of the world is looking at Florida like, well, of course you're being those people.
Well, like, don't blame Florida. It's not Floridians that are doing it. Spring breakers.
They need to have like on the underneath their name, like, you know, Alexis, you know, from University of Michigan. Dash not from Florida.
Right.
Let them know that they're not from here.
Yep.
But these are your peers. These are people your age.
Yeah.
What would you tell them as they're on the beach frolicking, making out with strangers, hooking up on the beach? What would you tell them?
I mean, what did I say like last night or something? I mean, I see it mixed. It's definitely mixed on like my Instagram when I'm going through stories because some people are like, y'all, stay inside. And other people are like, YOLO, it's spring break. And so what I said yesterday, I kind of popped off for a quick second in my own head, and I was like, that's just selfish. Like, you're being selfish right now. As much as you're having a great old time, and yes, it's upsetting to miss one spring break, guess what? You're going to miss a lot in the future, and it's going to be okay. You're going to be just fine if you miss one. You're being selfish right now for everyone else that's trying to self-quarantine, because if everyone else is inside hanging out, but yet we have this whole group of people outside, you're literally defeating the purpose of everyone hanging out and not spreading the virus. Right. So what I tell people is like, you're selfish. Yeah. You're simply selfish because somebody else is going to be affected. It might not be you, but let's say somebody else is going to either pass or their grandparents are going to pass because you were being an idiot on the beach for like a couple days. It's not worth it. Not worth it to get drunk on some sand. Simple as that. Mm.
Drunk on some sand. That mm-hmm. sounds really disgusting.
Actually, my spring break times,
it's quite fun, actually.
When
I've gotten drunk on the sand, that's the only way you can get me to stay at the beach for more than 30 minutes.
It's a
get
good
me drunk
time,
on
but
the
it's
sand.
Just not worth it right now. You right. can wait. Yes, I get it. You get the one break. I did it too. But at the same time, like, look at the bigger picture. We're missing the bigger picture right now.
No, it's true, but I can also empathize with them, and especially if you're a senior in mm-hmm. college and this is your last spring break, because like, let's say you have a job lined up for June when you graduate, like that's it.
Yep.
Like you don't get that sort of spring break, and you can if you want to, but you don't have a job or you're not being very responsible. And so I get that sort of feeling of, but that's part of being
what
an
about,
adult.
Like, yeah, like the last time you're going to see your great aunt, you know? Yeah. It's like, you got to look at that side too. Yeah, your last party, woohoo. But it also could be the last time you're talking to your grandpa.
It could be the last time you get some strange. Oh. And so it's like, what are you going to do?
It's going to be strange. The party's all going to be there, but it's just your priorities change.
I think it's just that here's what we need to do. We see all the sides, right? We should self-quarantine. We empathize with the people that are, you know, let that generation grieve. Because not only are they missing spring break, they're missing graduation.
Of course.
They're basically being shoved into adulthood 6 months too soon.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it's like being born prematurely. I mean, obviously not the same. And don't come at me with, God. Like, medical stuff. I you know what I mean.
Yes. Right.
You know
too
what I mean.
Before, yeah.
It's too soon. So, like, we're pushing them out the nest too soon. Like, they were planning on, you know, leaving and maybe having the summer and then really buckling down or whatever it is. Well, suddenly, like, life came and hit you in the face. And that's hard.
Yeah.
And so when I say empathizing, yes, we get it. And you need to grieve. Like, if it's anger, if it's bargaining, if it's denial. And I think some of the spring breakers that are still partying are in the denial phase.
Absolutely.
So there are these phases of grief, and that's just what this is. And I think it's almost, you can't expect everybody to suddenly become these altruistic people who are like, well, I care about all the generations, because you're like, well, damn it, they got theirs. Where's mine?
Yeah.
So it's a tough place. It's a tough place to be. I mean, you really can't go and party on the beach right now, but maybe there is a way to like figure out, even with your group of friends, plans for post-quarantine life.
Right.
Because I get it. You're grieving. And grief looks like different things for different people.
Well, and I feel like it's sort of like a cheap shot a little bit. When I've seen some of the, like, BuzzFeed or any of the other, like, Twitter accounts where they're like, of course, it's Florida. And then it's like a reporter talking to a spring breaker who's like, well, this is my last one and I'm young, YOLO. And I'm like, how about we like take a step back for a minute and sort of like what you were saying, Holly, is understand that like it's Wednesday today. This time last week, everything was fine.
Everything was normal. Mm-hmm.
Like everything was normal. And so these people like paid their money.
And got here before it got crazy.
Right.
You know?
And so I remember my spring break, like granted, you know, we didn't have iPhones then. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, ain't nobody doing...
Real quick, did you go to Panama City for spring break when you were in college?
No, I actually went to Daytona.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Oh, yeah, I went
to Daytona.
That's
where everyone from my high school went for spring break.
Oh, yeah, Daytona.
Craytona.
2007. And actually...
Scott's face.
Shut up. Scott, in 2007, when I was drunk and looking at my first male dancer on the stage... What were you doing in 2007 in March?
I was in middle school.
Oh.
Like,
yeah, I was in elementary school.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Y'all, I had a legit, respectable job. I actually won Employee of the Year that year, so fuck you guys.
Employee of the Year?
Yes.
Meanwhile, okay.
Like classmate of the year or something.
No, oh. I was a Clear Channel, because that's what it was back then. I was Clear Channel's Employee of the Year for the Finley area.
Wow.
And I was literally like living my best work life. So yeah. All of y'all can just shut up.
I got straight A's that year.
Did you get like a certificate?
I did. I have a plaque.
A plaque.
So I had a desk and respect. Paychecks.
Oh.
And I was living with my parents in elementary school, you know, just chilling.
I was trying to, like, find pennies underneath my car seat to buy Subway on spring break. Yeah, girl, it was a fun time. It was a fun time back then.
It was a time.
But I just wish that, like, let's just give them a little bit of empathy, you know, and being and not just, like, make fun of them on these sort of news reports. But I get it because, like, the news reporters and the news stations, their social media, they have to, you know, reach a certain quota of likes and engagement and whatnot.
When people say the media is blowing things out of proportion, it's stuff like that.
Right.
Like, it's stuff like that that is getting the clicks. Like, it's not us media people who are trying to keep you updated but not inundated. It's a very weird balance that we're in right now. So when people are like, oh, the media, and I'm like, bitch, this is my job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come to the washing machine factory and be like, you're making too many washing machines. Like, come on.
Wait, hold on. Where are my sound effects? I need like three more computer screens in here because
really?
I can't.
You're surrounded by it.
And I have to like flicker through my bag of tricks over here.
For real though, it's because like this is what we get paid to do.
Right.
We are here to inform you, also entertain you, but it's like anything that comes from the media, you have a certain segment of the population that's like, well, it's the media. Mm. Would you rather have no news or all the news?
Speaking
Clear
sister.
Channel Employee of the Year 2007 has spoken.
Yes.
2007,
put
bitch.
Some respect on it. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Of course.
And real quick before you go, what is your career aspiration in radio? Because your parents are in radio in Orlando, right?
My dad is. My mom used to be.
Okay. And so you've been in the industry. You've seen it growing up. What is your high aspiration?
That's a good question. I thought I wanted like one thing when I came in here, but like now I've being here and interacting with everyone in the office, you learn what everybody's different role is.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to like, I never really knew what the traffic department was. I was like, is that like the traffic like reporting? But
right.
No, that's like the scheduling and stuff. Oh. And I'm super into logistics and stuff. So when I heard about that, I was like, oh, that would be a great job for me. I could do that.
Mm.
And, like, I had never even heard of that. I was like, I have no idea what that is. But, like, you know, being a program director would be really interesting, too, to be able to, like have, like, a whole, like, brand of a station. I've always thought about on-air, like, here and there. I've done shifts, like, with The Bone and stuff. So, but it's never, like, it's always been kind of, I've always been kind of, like, wishy-washy about it. I've never, like, you know, just, like, dove, like, right in. So, like, it's, like, more of, like, a hobby. For me. So I like to like do things like this because it, you know, it just kind of like reiterates like, you know, like why we're all here and, you know, and it's fun. So
absolutely.
I love it. And thank you guys for always being so sweet to me and being encouraging. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Are we one of the nicer shows in the building that you deal with?
Yeah. Honestly, all of the on-air personalities that I deal with are really cool.
That is true. A lot of them are very nice. When you
a lot of them, not all of them?
Oh, no, not all of them. I also don't know all of them. But the ones that I remember when I was in promotions, like there's definitely some that I had my thoughts about. And then I got to know them. I was like, oh, you're nice. I was like,
probably I'm talking about me.
And you know, but like, honestly, like a lot of people on The Bone, like people always think they're like, oh man, they must be like so intimidating or so mean or so. And they're not. They're really not. And,
no, it's
you know,
true. I can co-sign on that
yeah,
statement.
They're very, like, they're real people, just like you and me. And, of course, like, they have a little bit more of, like, an attitude on the air. Like, you know, like, you gotta, you know, keep that audience and everything and how, like, you interact with them. And then sometimes people call you and, like, you just don't want to talk to them. Or, like, you just, or they're just saying some stupid stuff. So, obviously, they have to go off on them, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
It be like that sometimes.
Real quick. What do the promotions kids, without naming anyone or what they said, what's the chatter that they say about us behind our backs?
Oh, dude, they love you guys.
Oh, really?
Oh, my
God. Oh, I was hoping for, like, I don't know.
The dirt.
No.
Yeah, like, Miguel's a bitch. Or
yeah.
He's a diva.
Oh. I was talking to somebody, but no.
Oh, wait, someone
called. No.
joking. No, no, they love you guys. And like, you know, as I mean, I started out working, and Scott did too. Like, we both started working out promotions, like, you know, working alongside of you guys. And like, I remember, like, me and Miguel would have like some serious talks at Jenkins Mitsubishi and at Boost Mobile and at T-Mobile.
All and the mobiles.
All the mobiles. And like, Miguel was like always there for me. And like, I worked with Miguel, I think, the most out of everybody.
Because Miguel out in these streets getting that money.
Always.
Always. But you know, like, I'll never forget that. And I think that Miguel and I have such a great relationship because we've talked so much and we've interacted with each other so much. And
I was trying to school you, girl, to get away from them nasty men out there.
That's true.
He was.
Everybody needs to get away from them nasty men.
He was. And you know what? I got away from the nasty men. I finally listened to Miguel. So
hey, but it's all about life lessons at remotes all over the weekend. I love it. Wow. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And stay safe. And here's some hand sanitizer before you leave, okay?
Oh, thank you. I love that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So before we go for the day, Holly,
yeah,
you, when I walked into the studio, you were dealing with your daughter is out of school because her spring break wasn't happening for a while.
No, her spring break was going to be in April.
So a lot of parents, thankfully, had this sort of buffer week before they have to, or they probably already had plans for their kids
and
for spring break.
Arrangements and whatnot.
Well, you didn't. You had to, and so you were like, all right. And so then they just today said they got school.
Yeah. And the weird thing is that we knew there would be some type of e-learning, virtual learning happening Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, because Monday and Tuesday they were supposed to have off anyway. And the communications we got said Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, e-learning.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like no communication Monday, Tuesday. And I was like, anybody heard anything? I like texted my two mom friends that are in the class and I was like, y'all know what's going on?
Hey.
And they were like, no. But the one mom has a daughter, obviously, in Maya's grade, and has a son 2 grades older, and he had like a full, you know, syllabus for what's going to happen. And they were like, I don't know what's going on with first grade. But we got the communication last night after I had gone to sleep.
Oh.
And then I woke up early this morning for work, and I'm like, oh, wait, because I didn't know when they sent it. I thought it was sent early this morning, and it said tomorrow. And I thought that meant Thursday.
Oh, no.
It's today. Oh. And, like, it's just, like, I totally get that this is new and confusing, and I'm also confused. But we have a little app that we communicate with, and we have email, but the teacher's having trouble getting to the email while she's out of school.
Oh, God.
So she's really just communicating on the app. And I'm, like, trying to get the instructions. And then all these other parents are, like, leaving comments and everything. And I'm like, oh, it's today. And I had Maya called me and was like, Mom, what do I do for school? What am I supposed to do? And I was like, oh, it's not going to be till tomorrow. Now I'm going to go home and be like, get your shit. We're doing school. So I don't really know. And the thing is, since they were going to have spring break in April, what the school decided to do is move it up till so that spring break will be next week. So we'll have next week to kind of sort ourselves out.
Oh, nice.
On spring break. And then I'm assuming go back to e-learning. Right.
So this is sort of like the warm up, the buffer.
Yeah, this is maybe hopefully like the trial zone.
Mm.
I think it'll be okay once I figure it out or get a handle on it. But you know what I really need to do is make a schedule for the day for Maya, like every day. And you've seen it on social media, on Facebook usually, where they have like a parent schedule for what COVID-19, you know, looks like, where it's like 8 a.m., wake up, 9 a.m., go for a walk. And that ain't no joke.
Yeah.
Kids need that kind of thing. Otherwise, it's a damn free-for-all.
I remember my grandma, she used to say that. I remember the first time that I did I babysat for someone. Oh. And I was like, God, the kids are just so bad. And I'm trying to like get them to do stuff. And my grandma was like, kids need order.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta be the order giver. And so literally that first day when I babysat, I was like, hey, kids, let's watch Lion King. Little Rascals, let's play outside. The next day I was like, not today, bitch. Sit down.
Yeah.
So it's true. They need a schedule.
They still do that today.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you need order. There would be chaos in my house if I did not bring the order.
Well, you got to bring order.
Or what?
We're all adults.
Well, that's true. Oh, he just gave a face like you're not an adult.
I am an adult, kind of. I do stuff.
You know, I've been wanting to bring this up on the air.
Oh, Jesus.
But I feel like it would hurt me too much to go through with it.
Oh, now I'm very intrigued.
I wanted to, like, not touch anything in the house for, like, a week to just see what it looked like after the fact. Because I don't think, because as much as you, Scott, who lives with me, my boyfriend, Abe, and Dylan, are all like, Miguel's always in telling us to do this and you move stuff around. If I were to just like not touch anything for a week and just let it be, I would be so curious how fucking disgusting that house would look when I was done. Because what you all don't realize is that, yes, you do clean up after yourself mm-hmm. and Dylan does, but you all just like leave little things around. Whereas like I'm a little bit OCD. So like last night, Dylan took out the trash. And because I bought him dinner, he took the trash out. And so we have one of the ones where the top opens, so you got to take it off and then put the trash bag in, then put it over on top of it. He did that, but then he left the top of it on the kitchen counter. And I wanted to be like, all right, like, you know, like when you see something going wrong, it's Holly, when you know that you're right. And now I know where you're coming from, because I was like,
oh, I know. That's what it's like to be the head of household. I know this for myself.
Right.
Because it just, it is what it is. And can I tell you, there is a, because if you'd heard the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're books, Scott. Okay. I know it's not just an old thing. Like,
no.
That's
no,
a thing.
I just.
The Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think I really read it. Whatever.
They had.
I love those books.
Me too. I'm reading them to my daughter now. And they have a book that says, like, the trouble with housework or trouble with chores or something. And Mama Bear does exactly that. In the books, by the way, Mama Bear's kind of a bitch because she always, like, trying to keep brother and sister in line. And Papa's, like, basically one of the kids. And so what happens is nobody's, like, doing the chores. It's mm-hmm. not that they didn't want to do them.
Right.
It's just that they had other things to do. So one day, Mama had just had it. And Papa was like, you know what? I think we need to take a break from chores. And she's like, okay. I was like, oh, Mama Bear's pissed. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, okay, I need to go to my quilting circle. I need to work on my rose garden. And so she does, and the house turns into an absolute shithole. And then at the end of the day, like, there's a bug that comes swimming in the tub at sister, and, like, the baby's trying to eat a bug and all this stuff. And so then at the end of the day, Papa gets the cubs all together, and they all clean up. Mama gets home from her meeting, and she's like, hi, guys. And they're like, did you notice something? And she's like, yes, I did. I saw that you cleaned. And then it ends with a big hug. But I'm like, you need to pull a Mama Bear.
I know, but like, I don't want to announce it. I'm just going to like slide into it.
I think you should. I don't know. Like, I need to be pointed out if there's something that I'm doing that is like not done properly, because I feel like I try to keep such a clean trail of myself. I really do, because I find myself always worrying on being a burden to other people. And so I do that right. when it's like, it's not my establishment. And so the house, as I do live there and I do look at it as my home right now, it's still not fully mine. So I try to keep as clean of a trail as I can. And that means like when I do dishes, like very rarely will I leave it in the sink until if I have to rush out in the morning.
Right.
I know I'm going to come back and I'm not going to leave it for 24 hours. Like there'll never be a time where it's like 24 hours, Scott left the mess. Sometimes maybe like a speck of, this is where your OCD might come in, where it might come to play, like on the oven. Because you said this the other day, like if something like pops out of the pan, like doop, doop, and maybe it's like I don't even see it, then that might be something. But beside that, I really don't know what I would be leaving out or like putting in the wrong place.
Did you notice what I left beside the
oven? Yeah, the swipe. I even wiped down the oven this morning. But it's like I just want to know. Like I really do. And that's why I think it would be a cool experience, because I honestly want to learn. I really do. Because when I lived with my roommates last year, I was the OCD one.
Right.
And that
right.
drove me up a wall.
Right.
Because I was never going to contain my roommates. And they would, oh, God.
I remember your stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
I think it's less OCD, by the way, and it's more a control issue.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really just that you want things the way you want them, and things being out of order makes you uncomfortable.
I don't think it's
OCD, because let's remember OCD is also like people who struggle with like they have to knock on the door 5 times and they have to like wash their hands repeatedly, which actually might not be that bad in coronavirus times. But I think it all comes down to control.
Yes.
And a lack of and wanting all of it.
I do think that I do. I mean, I've never been medically diagnosed with this, but I do have things where like I have to. And this is where I think it plays into it. Like, I have to touch things equally.
Mm.
So, like, and this is like explaining this to you right now, not seeing what we're looking at. So like in here, and I don't know if you've ever seen me do this before, we have a board, an audio board here where I control the microphones and the radio station every day. And where the four microphones are, this is where my, I've never told anyone this before.
I think this is a good thing to talk about.
So sometimes when I come in, the microphone, the offline button will be pressed differently. Mm-hmm. And so like I, in the morning, I take all of our mics off of offline. So if Scott is recording something in, then we won't get us in the background talking. Well, if I come in and just mic one is on offline, I don't just hit mine to take it offline. I have to hit mine two times, and then I have to go through and hit each one twice before I then equally turn them off at the same time. Or if I hit my light in my car, the light on, I have to do it four times in order to make sure that it's off, because I feel like if I don't, like, it's going to bug me all night. So it's like these are little things that I have. And, like, it doesn't affect my life, and, like, I don't move differently in my life because of it. And now I just – hold on. I had to do it equally because it just like those are the little things. And so I think
a lot of people do have those little touches of OCD. For example, if I'm eating grapes or candy or something small, I can't have one. I have to have two. I have to have equal numbers of them because it just I can probably chew it on both sides of my mouth. And if one side of my mouth gets a grape and the other side of my mouth doesn't feel grapey,
right,
it's off balance.
Right.
And I have to have the other grape in there. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I feel it all the time.
So little things like that, I would put that under obsessive compulsive
disorder. And so, but like I said, there are people that deal with it where like it affects their life. Like it's like they can't leave
their house.
Yeah, like because I remember watching stuff like that on all the like Jenny Jones and Jerry Springer back in the day where it was like extreme. And I was like, okay, I'm not like that.
Right.
But I think that growing up with those little tendencies has led to it in my older years, where the way that I want my house, it's like, yes, things have to be in a certain way. And if they're not, I'm like, but then what I've noticed is that like there are little things that like you all will do at the house where it's not like no one in the house is dirty because
that one fly.
I don't know if you can have a dirty house.
I've lived with someone who was, and it was not fun.
It affects
and I didn't
your
like
mood.
It does.
Legit. Like last year, like I would go through mood.
It was horrible.
Upset because of it.
Well, this is more like you will be there and you'll like make a sandwich or something, and there'll be like a couple of crumbs somewhere. Dylan will come in and he'll get some crackers. There'll be a couple of crumbs. Abe will come in and he'll get like a cookie or something. There's little crumbs. And so by the time everybody has left their crumbs and no one's taken the wipe and wiped the counter down, then when you go to put your arms down or something, then it's sticky. And if things are sticky, like that's when my mind just explodes. And so that's why I'm always like, all right, well, here's some wipes. Here's some things. Do this there. That's all. So one day in the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to stop.
You know what's going to bother me, though, with that is because I feel like I'm going to do my part and then other people won't do their part. And that's going to bother me because I think that's what it is with me. Like, I don't like getting blamed for things that I'm not doing.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be accused
of
something
that's
not true.
And you don't want to be under the responsible umbrella of people that aren't doing stuff.
Absolutely
and if you're doing
not. Yeah. Like, that, again, that was what bothered me last year. I was, like, so tired of making sure everyone else did their crap that it brought me down. And I was like, I don't even want to see y'all. I don't talk to anybody.
I think that a lot of people that are like, I'm going to go back to the head of household situation. Like a lot of people that, because no matter how you split it up, there's always usually like one head of house even in a marriage, in a relationship, in a roommateship, whatever. There's like a leader, right? And that person is usually like the most responsible or the cleanest or the, you know, however, somebody that wants it a specific way, that's the leader. And then it's just hard to get other people on your path.
Yeah, because it's like all our paths are like a little slightly different.
Yeah,
I've noticed that with Miguel too, because if I put something away, even if it's put away, if it's in the wrong spot, like it's as if I just never even did anything.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Oh, could you put that there? And then I'm like, what do you want from me? I don't know where this thing goes. Like nobody ever told me that. Okay, yeah, okay. Because those are those moments that bother me. It's like, if I don't know and I do it and then I still get in trouble, I'm like, all right, why nobody
explained. I think you need to have a balance as the lead. And I learned this from having a kid. You have to have a balance as a leader for a learning curve. Because I like to, what I call, reset the living room at the end of the day. So it doesn't happen always because sometimes my ass is tired.
True. Amen.
But I like to reset the living room. And what I'll do is after, you know, when we're going to bed and I've already put Maya to bed and there's like cups out or some toys, I need to make it so that nothing happened. So that you're walking out in the morning to like a fresh space. Mm. Okay. Which is probably why Miguel, you and I lived really well together.
Because there is nothing better than early in the morning walking through your living room and everything is just
it's in
perfect.
Order. Yes, exactly. And you got to get other people on board with that. So I'm trying to, especially now that she's home all the time, I had a conversation with Maya last night where I was like, okay, so because we're all in the house together and we got to start getting, you know, this is not a free for all anymore. So we're going to do what I call reset the space. And so if there's like a water bottle over here, you need to bring it in the kitchen.
Right.
And it's going to take a minute because when you're not in the habit of those things, then she's not going to remember to do it. And I'm going to be like, did you get you? Which is just another thing I have to do. Like, we've already worked on going potty and brushing teeth before bed. You wouldn't believe how hard of a struggle that is, y'all. Mm. I had to, like, put prizes at the end of it. I was like, if you do this for, like, 2 weeks solid, I will get you a baby alive bathtub.
But you know what? That is so amazing because I wish that I would have had the habit of brushing my teeth at night because I still struggle with that now because it was never formed as a habit growing up.
I don't know what it looked like when I was growing up. I know my mom helped me brush my teeth and like helped me learn, but like I've never met somebody so adverse to brushing their damn teeth. I'm like, girl, you are going to get a cavity. Not a deterrent for her. Mm. I'm like, there's sugar bugs on your teeth that you need to brush off. Not really a deterrent for her.
I feel like they taste good though.
I know. She's like,
them
well,
good sugar bugs.
I'll just do it tomorrow. And of course she doesn't. And I'm like, I'm that parent. I'm like, so anyway, we're working on that. Well, by the way, we got to call Will.
Yeah. Oh, no, he said, wait.
Yeah, he said not urgent.
Oh, I only saw the call Will part.
Yeah, no, I texted him and said, our boss texted and said, call me.
I know. I was like, oh.
No, I saw your face change. You were like, ooh.
I know. Okay.
That's why I was like, wait, is it a 911? Because I feel like if it were an emergency, he would call us.
Yeah.
If it were something like really crazy.
Okay, never mind.
No, we're fine. So we're all good. So I feel like at the end of every podcast, since we're doing this daily now, we just, how is everybody emotionally before we end the podcast with everything? Because, you know, by the time you hear this, maybe you listen in the afternoon when you, maybe you're probably not leaving work or maybe you're going on your afternoon walk to get some air.
We just don't
or
know.
Whatever, you're cleaning, you're resetting the house. Mm. Every day is a new emotion and it's a new something unfolding mm-hmm. right now in this time period. And so I feel like we should do like a little gut check of like, where are we emotionally? Just to make sure that we're all okay. Scott, how are you doing so far?
Right in this exact moment, I'm okay. A little earlier, a couple hours ago, like I've been going through a couple little like internal freakouts where it's
about?
Just like, it's just a thing just because my routine's now effed up again.
Yeah.
And it's like, I finally got a little routine going. I was finally getting my life back together. I was finally making a little bit of money on my side hustles. Now everything's effed up again. And like, there's no clear answer on when anything's going to be discovered, done, finished, on to the next. And it's very frustrating. And it's honestly like freaky. And every now and then I allow myself to have like a little panic attack because I'm like, what is life?
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, it's all right. Keep moving forward.
What are you most afraid of?
I don't even know if it's like afraid. I think I'm just let me take a step back. I'm afraid of like, I think this is bigger than we even know. That's my little internal panic where I'm like, holy crap, this, I don't even know if we have any idea how big this is about to get. And this is where I get frustrated when I talk to people and they're like, people are overreacting. It's like, that. I'd rather you overreact than us underreact because of what I think is about to happen. And this is, I don't want anybody to freak out. This is me allowing myself to have a little moment.
This is the place to do it.
Okay, this is my little moment.
Just never do this on the radio, on the broadcast.
Yeah, no, this is our place to do it.
Yeah.
No, this is my little panic that I have like once a day where I'm like, y'all, like I think some real issues about to go down. Nobody knows how to handle it. And I think it's going to spread throughout everywhere. And there's going to be a lot of lives at stake. And it's going to suck because, you know, people are still at work. And one of my scares is like my mom's still at work. My mom's like, you know, she's not as healthy as like my immune system. And she works as a banker. So it's all she does is touch money. And so every day I'm like, hey, you wash your hands? You using hand sanitizer? Are you allowed to use gloves? And she even told me the other day, like, yeah, they have gloves there, but we're not allowed to use them there. I'm like, what kind of BS is this? We have a little life crisis on them, and you're not allowed to use gloves? Why? Like, that's a stupid rule that you should have in place. If you're not allowed to go home, put the things in order that are at least going to help your employees survive throughout any epidemic like this. Like, those are my little panic attacks where it's like, my mom, my grandparents, I want them to make sure they're healthy and making sure that they're following through with what they need to, and it pisses me off when, like, worker, like workplaces aren't allowing you to be as safe as you possibly can be if right. you have to be at the workplace.
Right. They're not really looking out. They're yeah. looking out for the bottom line.
Exactly.
Which is, my ex-husband, I was speaking with him yesterday, and he does pest control. Like, he does pest removal, pest control. And he's like a salesperson for the company now and also can, like, handle some treatments or whatever. And his company's line is, well, make sure that you're standing a few feet away from the customer, but business as usual. He's like, so I'm going from house to house. What
stupid.
If someone has it, I get it, and then I bring it to, like, five other houses that day.
Right.
And he's like, it's literally just about money. The company will keep going until they physically can't anymore because they need the money. And I'm like, I think a lot of businesses are that way right now.
You know, not even right now. I don't want to divulge too much information because I have a friend that just lost his job yesterday because, I mean, things are already bad in the industry that his company is in. I'll just say it's a travel industry, one of those places. And some of the things, because it was like they knew he was a manager, so he knew things were bad, but they didn't let on how bad. And so literally, like, he was working yesterday, and all of a sudden, as he was on the phone with a client, like, his email stopped working. Oh. And all of a sudden, like, he was trying to, and it's a work laptop, and, like, everything was stopping. And so then he had to, like, end the phone call and be like, what's going on? Because he works from home mm-hmm. because the place isn't here. And they were like, someone's going to call you. And so then he's getting messages from coworkers saying the company is closing. They're firing 80% of their staff.
That's crazy.
But this place that, and I hope I'm not saying too much, that takes money to then, like, book your travel, like, hasn't paid people. That so like if I paid you, Holly, as the travel person for my flight and hotel, and then you didn't pay the hotel. Mm-hmm. And so these people are showing up at the hotel in other countries, and the hotel's like, your reservation's not paid for. And there's
where's the money?
Gone. This is what's happening. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
This is what business is. I think this is why it's, like, so important to do the research on the companies that you work for. Because clearly there were signs leading up to that that now my friend can look back, and I'm sure as more time goes on,
yeah.
he'll be like, now I know what to look for. Like, and we've worked for people like that in the radio industry that yeah. I know what questions to ask now, but when you're young and you don't know, it's just it's things that you would never think that someone would do.
Right.
Like, when my friend told me this yesterday, I was like, do you know who these people are? Like, can I give them my credit card to, like, book a room for them or something? Like, they're just stranded. And it freaked me out. I have no clue who these people are.
Yeah.
But, like, that's how insensitive people are in just regular business. So then when it comes to an unseen force that's moving across the globe, that's a pandemic, but, like, they haven't been affected yet.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
No, they sure don't.
It's just, so I understand, and your fear is very warranted, Scott.
It is. Yeah. I just don't know what, I mean, listen, I almost feel like I've been preparing for this situation. This is a long podcast. I feel like I've been preparing for this situation for a long time, ever since the Hunger Games books came out.
Oh,
true.
Because after that, I had gotten really deep into a rabbit hole of post-apocalyptic teen novels.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've read many novels and seen the subsequent movies about, you know, when shit goes down,
right,
and life changes. And it's like, it's a little eerie how very similar some things are.
Right.
And it's almost like they were, you know, foretelling a time. And a lot of it, you know, it comes down to money. And it comes down to how are we supposed to live in a world where everything is uncertain, especially money.
Yeah.
So there's some scary shit ahead, but I feel like there's a lot of good stuff ahead. I am in Scott's boat a little bit when it comes to, I do think that we're at the beginning of this, but I don't know what to expect.
Right.
And I try not to think about that because my mind will go to all of those post-apocalyptic novels
yeah.
where, again, stuff goes sideways. But the uncertainty is what's scary.
I had that thought yesterday, too. And I feel like every day, for some reason, news tends to like speed up around 5 o'clock, where it's like, you know, Mayor Jane Castor is giving a press conference. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is giving a press conference. Mayor Rick Kreisman from St. Pete is giving a conference. Then President Donald Trump is giving a conference. And so all of a sudden it's like announcement, 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 announcement. And you're like, oh my God, the world is falling apart right now. And of course, you know, my scared ass, I'm like, so literally I was going to have a conversation with Abe today and be like, can we just humor me? Can we just have like a little bag by the door? Like just in case I get the inkling that like Handmaid's Tale is about to go down and they're coming after blacks or gays or something. Ooh. Like just in case we need to get in the car and run. Mm. But like these are the things when it's so uncertain right now that like, and then we're all just sitting around the house with nothing to do.
Yeah. And that's when you have to remove yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's for your own mental health. It's not good to get into that spiral. So
I mean, but I do want to pack a bag. Just
pack a bag. A
couple of underwear.
I don't think anyone
some socks.
Is going to look down on you for doing that.
Just a couple bottles of water. That's all. Okay. Anything else, Holly, for you? Like how you're doing, where your head is right now, how you're feeling with everything.
It comes and goes. For the most part, I'm okay. I'm like staying afloat.
Okay.
I'm doing okay because I almost feel like. Weirdly, for like the last year-ish anyway. And again, we can't really talk about like my personal life yet again. But I've been through some shit this past year. And it almost feels like I've sort of self-quarantined over the past year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. I have not been out in public much.
Right.
Only to do like work events.
Right.
And I've kind of, you know, I've kept some personal stuff off of my social media anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's almost been like a trial run.
Mm.
So not much has changed in my day to day.
Right.
But Maya's home now. So that's a huge difference.
Hello.
So I'm learning as I go how to best figure that all out. And again, and we talked about this, it goes back to scheduling.
Right.
And anybody needs order. It's not just kids.
Yeah.
That's how people thrive. I mean, they like routine.
I am okay, a little worried, because I always go to worst case scenario.
Mm.
And, you know, our industry, radio, what we do here at Hot 101.5, we can't do this if we don't have advertisers. And when our advertisers are suffering, we suffer. Mm-hmm. That's how we keep the lights on. So when you hear us talking about places like the Furman Carr family or Corona
beer,
you know, exactly. Corona beer, or any of the places at McDenton's for Scott, mm-hmm. Holly, you for Ideal Image, you know, these places that have supported us for so long when they're hurting and they're like, hey, we love you all. And thanks for giving our message out, but we got to shave some dollars off of our marketing money. Then that affects like us. And so our company, like most companies, you cut where you can because hopefully you've built up a cushion. But then obviously, if it gets really bad, what happens then? What else is there to cut except for income?
Right.
So not saying that that's going to happen, but that's where my mind goes. And as we see the stock market and businesses are closing and our events are being pulled off the schedule for a little bit, and I'm hoping they will be rescheduled, that sort of freaks me out. But right now I'm trying to focus on the fact that I've been saying I'm tired for about 2 months now. And I'm like, you know what? Take advantage of this. You mm-hmm. know, no one's in the building, so we can leave right when we're done with the show. You know, carve out an hour or two in the afternoon to like do work stuff, but then relax and just enjoy yourself. So I'm trying to keep that in my head. But then there are times where I'm like,
yeah.
So what happens if they're like, so that next paycheck, we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks to get that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's,
so that comes in my mind. So we're all sort of dealing with that type of stuff right now.
Right.
All right, Holly. What's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott Tavlin on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok and Twitter.
And you can find me, Miguel Fuller, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Snapchat as well. You can download Miguel and Holly Uncensored on our Hot 101.5 app, on the Hot 101.5 website, or if you have an iPhone, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored and make sure to just rate us and leave a review, and then we will read it on the show. And if you have a question, you can always slide up in my DMs, or you can email me, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. And like we said, we're doing it daily. This is our new, what do you call it, Holly?
Our Quarantine Cast.
Stay safe. Use hand sanitizer.